May be seated. Good having everybody here this morning. Just a weekly update. Everything is still moving smooth towards us moving to the new church. We still have the closing date of the 31st. And then if that happens, of course, still pray, because the Lord can stop it at any time. But if that does, if we do close on the 31st, we will, first thing we'll try to do is try to get the camera there and get the sound set up, and then we'll start preaching over there. And then we start moving stuff after that. But until we get the sound right and the camera right, I mean, we're no hurry. We want to make sure everything's right before we go over there. That way, those who are unable to be at church can still watch it online. And so just continue to be a prayer about that, and pray for your pastor, because really, when it comes to doing technical work like that, I am the worst. Okay, so people might be seeing, you know, things upside down and, you know, no sound and everything else if it's up to me. So, all right, open your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. It's good having, you know, those who went into Egypt Florida last week. And now they're back, and it's good having them back. Matthew chapter 13, look if you would, starting at verse 47. It says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every wind or every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels and cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever wicked from among the just and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." Now, we have been looking at parables here for a while. We've been studying parables, and we've looked at, you know, what a parable is. I mean, it's a story that's given with a heavenly meaning. In other words, it's used to support something. It's a story that's given to support doctrine that's already in the Bible. Remember, you can't base a doctrine on the parable itself, but you are to know what the Bible says about a certain thing, and then when you read a parable, that parable will match that. Okay, and that's what a parable is, and we know that Jesus started speaking in parables because the Jews would not listen to him. I mean, they wouldn't obey him. They wouldn't receive him as the Messiah, and so he started speaking in parables. Now, you'll see parables all the way through the Bible, but Jesus had a reason that he spoke in parables, and then we also looked at that in the New Testament, especially in the Gospels, many of those parables. You'll see some that were meant for the kingdom of heaven and some that were meant for the kingdom of God. And you say, well, aren't they the same thing? No, they're not. Because when you read about the kingdom of heaven, that's always in the context of Jesus Christ ruling and reigning on this earth physically, which he will do for 1,000 years sometime in the future. Okay, but the kingdom of God is within us as believers. Okay, so there is a difference. And if you understand that, then it's easier to understand what these parables are saying. Now, you'll see that there'll be one parable over here that'll say, you know, the kingdom of heaven is like, and he gives a parable. And he'll say the kingdom of God is like, and then he gives a parable. But you'll notice there'll be certain things that are different once he changes it to the kingdom of God. Why? Because the kingdom of God is referring to Christians in this age, whereas the kingdom of heaven is referring to a future event. Amen? So we got to make sure we understand that. Now, when this parable here that we read about, it's called the parable of the net and the fish. And many believe that when they read this parable, that it's talking about the end of the world, where the Lord is going to send all those that are wicked to the lake of fire, and all those that are good, he's going to take to heaven. But the end of the world here is not when heaven will be, or when the earth will be burned up, when the elements melt, like 2 Peter 3 talks about. That's not what it's talking about when it's talking about the end of the world in this sense. Rather, it's talking about the end of the world system that exists today. How many of you know that the world, you know, the world can refer to as the earth? I mean, the word world can refer to as the earth. The word world can refer to people, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He didn't love the dirt. He loved the people. Amen. And so, but also when we talk about the word world, that word can refer to the system. In other words, everything that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. When God says over there in 1 John, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. He's talking about the world's system, the world's way of thinking, the world's philosophies. How many of you know the world is against God? The world's enmity with God, the Bible says. And so we're not to be a part of the world in that sense. And so when it's talking here about the world, that's what it's talking about, the world system. And when it's talking about the end of the world, it's talking about the end of that system or the end of the world as we know it. Now, how do we know that this passage is speaking of the end of the world in this sense? Well, hold your place here and turn over to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. And it's not, and I'll show you that when he talks about the end of the world, he's not talking about, you know, when this earth is no longer here. Okay, now the Bible does say over in Revelation chapter 21, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. So we know that this earth is not going to be here forever. We know that. But when it's talking about the end of the world, that's not what it's talking about. Okay, and when you get over to Hebrews chapter 9, I want you to look at verse 26. Hebrews chapter 9. Verse 26. In fact, after you get Hebrews chapter 9, grab Matthew chapter 24 as well. I'll give you some time to find that too. That way we don't have to waste time later. Better waste time right now. Hebrews chapter 9 and Matthew chapter 24. All right, Hebrews chapter 9. Talking about, what are we talking about when it talks about the end of the world? Look at verse 26. It says, for then must he often have suffered, talking about Jesus Christ, for then must he have often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So it's saying that when Jesus came the first time, that was the end of the world. Now you say, well, how is that? Well, what did he come for? To set up a kingdom. And when the Lord sets up that kingdom, that'll be the end of the world, the world's philosophy, the world's way of thinking as we know it. Amen. Why? Because when he sets up his kingdom, the Bible says that he's going to rule this world with a rod of iron. Okay? And so he says here, in the end of the world, he came. Now in Matthew chapter 24, flip over there and look at verse 3. Here Jesus is, he's sitting on the Mount of Olives. His disciples are with him. And it says in Matthew chapter 24, 3, and says, and as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Now think about this. He came the first time to set up his kingdom, and the Bible calls it the end of the world. But they rejected him as king. Amen? And then he says, okay, I'm going to come back. You know, the disciples just called him coming the second time? The end of the world. The end of the world system, okay? So here we're talking about Christ's second coming and when he comes again to set up his kingdom. And so really, if you think about it, we're kind of in the end times right now because the Lord is going to come back, amen? And when he does, things are going to change, okay? And in fact, to tell you the truth, we don't have very long for that to happen because, you know, we tell you the truth, we never did have a long for it to happen for the Lord to come back. If you think about it on God's calendar, how many of you know that God's calendar and God's clock is not the same as ours? It says over there in 2 Peter chapter 3, it says, for a day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. It's been 2,000 years since Christ hung on that cross and he died for our sins. But to God, it's only been a couple of days. It's a wild thing to think about. Amen? Okay? And so, if you look back in our text, though, in Matthew chapter 13, it says in verse 47, it says, and again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind. Now remember this, he already talked about the end of the world. Okay? It says again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels and cast the bad away. So immediately, just to set the background of this, of this parable, we know it's at the end of the world, which is talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says here, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net, which is talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the background, amen? All right, and so now we have to figure out what each one of these things are referring to so we can figure out the parable. Now, I want you to notice that this parable never actually uses the term fish in this passage, okay? But it's implied that they're dragging into shore, that their nets are full of fish. It never says that, but that's what we imply, or that's what it implies. And we're told that in those nets there are good fish and bad fish. Now, really, compared to some other kingdom of parables that we've learned, this parable is pretty easy if you think about it. Because really it sums up all the other parables and gives a basic overview of those other kingdom of heaven parables. But to rightly divide the word of truth, we must look at each one of these things in the parable in order to find out what it's speaking of. Now, we all know that it's talking about the kingdom of heaven, so we know that. It's going to take, whatever it's talking about in this parable is going to take place just before the Lord comes back. We know that it's at the end of the world, which means it's going to take place just before the Lord comes back. And it says that the net was cast into the sea. Now, when you read prophecies in the Bible, you're going to find out that the sea is mentioned a lot in prophecies. If you've read the book of Revelation, you'll see that the sea is often mentioned. And it's often referring to not the ocean. It's referring to the world. Okay? I'll give you an example. Turn over to Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. And what we're trying to do here is we're trying to figure out what each one of these things in the parable will represent so we can understand what the parable's teaching. Daniel chapter 7. Now, while you turn to Daniel chapter 7, remember Matthew 13:47 says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea. Okay? So what does that sea refer to? Like I said, it refers to the world. In Daniel chapter 7, look at verse 2. It says, Daniel spoke and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens strove upon the great sea. Four winds, that's north, south, east, and west. Also, you'll see that is the four corners of the earth, too. That's north, south, east, and west. It doesn't mean that the earth has corners. Pretty hard for a ball to have corners, amen? All right, and it says here, he says, behold, the four winds of the heavens strove upon the great sea. And four beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. Now, this is a vision that Daniel's having. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. Now, if you continue reading the book of Daniel, it gives you a clue here what this beast is referring to, because the last part of that says that it was that I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand upon feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. It's referring to Babylon. Okay, now look at verse 5. And behold, another beast, a second like a bear, and it raised up itself one side, and it had three ribs in its mouth between the teeth of it, and they said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. So again, you have another beast coming up out of the sea. Now, when that first beast came up out of the sea, and we know that as Babylon, did Babylon come from the ocean? No, it was a kingdom that began. Okay, in verse 5, it's talking about Neo-Persia. It did not come from the ocean either, but it did come from the world, the same as Babylon did. All right, look at verse 6. After this, I beheld, and lo, another, like a leopard, which had upon its back four wings of a fowl, and the beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. Talking about Greece under Alexander the Great. And then look at verse 7. And after this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly. Do you know what that's referring to? Rome. Do you realize how strong Rome was, folks? Rome was never defeated. They just kind of went away. And during the time to come, the 70th week of Daniel, you're going to see the revived Roman Empire. Okay, and there's a lot of verses for that. We'll learn about that maybe in the future. But that's talking about Rome there in verse 7. So these beasts represents nations that were prophesied to rule over Israel And we know that the prophecy certainly came true in the exact order the Bible said that they would. But what I want you to see is these nations did not come from the ocean. They came from the world. So the word sea here is talking about the world. All right, now, turn if you would over to Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. I'll show you another place where you see the sea. And understand it's not an ocean. When it's talking about coming out of the sea, it's not an ocean. If it is, then all those sailors way back in the day, how many of you know that the sailors in the ocean, on the ocean a long, long time ago, they did not have completed maps. And so what they would do, they'd go out on the ocean, and they started sailing in unknown waters. They'd say there'd be dragons. In fact, if you look at the old maps, you'll see pictures of a dragon on there. What that meant was, wherever that dragon is where nobody had ever been before. You know where they got that? Revelation chapter 13. Look at it, verse 1. Not that there's dragons in the ocean, okay? Now, there's pretty ugly creatures out there, but there's no dragons, and there's nothing like that in the ocean. All right, but look at Revelation 13, verse 1. It says, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto, was like, and his feet were as feet of bear, and his mouth as a mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power, and his seat, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast." Now, if you compare that over there to Zechariah, you'll find out that the Antichrist is going to have a wound unto death. Okay? And in fact, you'll see that his eye will be darkened and his arm will be shriveled up, and he's described over there in Zechariah. When it's talking about this beast here rising up, it's talking about the Antichrist. How many of you know that the Antichrist is known as the beast? Okay? That's what it's talking about. And it says he come up out of the sea. Did he come up out of the ocean? No, he came from the world. He came from the world, okay? And so this is that's what it's talking about. So we know that when it talks about the world and the world system, we know that that's referred to as the sea. Now, turn back, if you would, to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. And we know that the sea represents the world, then what about the fish? And what about the net? What's it talking about there? Well, Matthew chapter 13, verse 47, it says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea." So this net was cast into the world and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. Now, as I said, this doesn't actually say fish here, but it is implied that the fish were caught. But and you say, well, who do the fish or whatever they're got in their nets, what does it represent? Well, flip over to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. And Jesus tells his disciples a very strange thing in Matthew chapter 4. Now it says that the net was going to be thrown into the world or the sea, and they're going to drag back and they're going to separate the good from the bad. In Matthew chapter 4. Look, if you would, starting in verse 17. It says, "From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" He's saying, "I'm coming back. I'm going to set up my kingdom." "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' And they straightway left their nets and followed him." So here we see a net used to catch fish. And then Jesus said that he would make them fishers of men. And Jesus was saying that from henceforth, your main job is not to catch fish. It's to catch men. Okay? Now, being as how Peter and Andrew left their nets behind to follow the Lord, when Jesus said he was going to make them fishers of men, what were they going to use as far as a net? what were they going to use? I mean, you can't walk around and throw nets over people. You had to go to jail for that. Amen. So what in the world were they going to use? It's the gospel. It's the gospel. And people who witness to others today are being fishers of men the way God intended us to be. I mean, if you go out and you tell somebody the gospel, what you're doing is you're trying to get them to get over here with Christ and be God's children. Now, you can't make them come in, but you can certainly use a net, and you can certainly be fishers of men. And when Jesus said to those disciples, "I'm going to make you fishers of men," that teaches us that we should be fishers of men as well. Now, note you would back in our text in Matthew 13, it says in verse 47 of that text, it says in Matthew 13, 47, it says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind." So here's what we know when it comes to this parable. We know that in the scriptures, the net is the gospel. And the gospel is used to catch men. But here we're told that the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net. So that would mean that the gospel has to do with the kingdom of heaven. Now, can you think of a time that the gospel had to do with the kingdom of heaven? How many of you remember when you're reading your Bible, especially early in those gospels, you read about John the Baptist. And John the Baptist preached this in Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "And in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea." So John was come, and John was sent to make the way straight for the coming Messiah, to get Israel ready to receive their king. Okay? So it says, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." That's what he was preaching. "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." You know what John the Baptist was preaching? He wasn't preaching the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He was saying, repent, get down in this water, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What's the kingdom of heaven again? It's Jesus Christ ruling and reigning on this earth. Listen, when John the Baptist came, he was sent to make the way straight for the coming king. And he's saying, if you'll get down in the water and repent, then you'll come up out of the water, you'll recognize him as king, and you'll receive him as your king. Here's the problem. Those Pharisees wouldn't get in the water. Those Sadducees wouldn't get in the water. Those Herodians wouldn't get in the water. Those scribes wouldn't get in the water. And that's the reason he's saying you're vipers and you're going to take down the whole nation of Israel because, listen, Jesus is here to set up his kingdom. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, listen, I do preach all the time that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. Amen? But that's not the gospel. If I got up here today and said, repent, get down in the water, get down in the water trough back there, or once we get in the new church, get in the baptistry back there, repent and be baptized, for the kingdom of heaven is in hand, I would be preaching heresy. It's not for today. What do I preach today? That if you're going to be saved, you must trust in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, believe he died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again the third day. Amen? But what John the Baptist was preaching here, he was preaching the kingdom of heaven. What's this? What is the whole parable about? The kingdom of heaven. And so that he's talking about net casting there. Now, turn if you would over to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. And look at verse 17. It says, "From that time Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So now John the Baptist has passed from the scene, and now Jesus is preaching the same thing. It means he's still offering his kingdom. But now drop down to verse 23. "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people." What was he preaching when it says the gospel of the kingdom? That's what he just preached back up there in verse 17. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That is the gospel of the kingdom. All right? And so that was what they preached there while he was still offering his kingdom to the nation of Israel. Now, there is going to come a time. Now think about this. Jesus there, when he was getting ready to set up his kingdom, he's preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John the Baptist before him was preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand because Jesus was going to set up his kingdom. Amen? And so that's the gospel of the kingdom. That's not the gospel of grace that we preach today. Now there's a time coming, folks, that the gospel of the kingdom is going to be preached again. And it's not while you're on this earth. If you're saved, you're going to be raptured out of here before it ever happens. Turn to Matthew chapter 24 again. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Now don't misunderstand me here. Once Jesus Christ died on the cross, it is his blood that saves anybody. Okay? But I want you to look at the gospel that's going to be preached during the 70th week of Daniel. In Matthew chapter 24, look at verse 11. It says, "And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many." Now he's describing, they said, "What?" Remember, at the beginning of this chapter, they said, "What is the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Tell me what it's going to be like." The disciples said, "Tell me what it's going to be like, Lord, just before you come." Just before you come. You know, the kingdom of heaven. Okay. It says, "And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many." Verse 11. "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved." Verse 14. "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations. And then shall the end come." What's the end? When Christ comes back. What's the gospel of the kingdom? Well, we saw that back there in Matthew chapter 4. You know what they're going to be preaching? "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." That's what's going to be preached during the 70th week of Daniel. Why? Because at the end of the 70th week of Daniel, guess what's going to happen? The Lord's going to come back. So people will be saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," during the 70th week of Daniel. Now, you still got to trust in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only way you're going to go to heaven. But these people, the gospel they're saying is, listen, you better repent. And by the way, there's nothing going to be getting in the water then. These people have to receive Jesus Christ. But they're doing it because the king is coming. And you want to be ready when the king comes. Why? Because you know what the first thing he's going to do when he comes? It's called the judgment of nations. And he's going to have all these people in front of him, and he's going to judge who didn't take the mark, who received him, who treated the Jew right, and he's going to take all those good people, those good fishes, he's going to put on this hand. And then over here, you're going to have all those people that didn't treat the Jews right, and who took the mark of the beast, and who would not receive Jesus Christ, and he's going to put them all over here, you know, the bad fishes. But what was being preached? What was the net that was thrown out there? "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And there were some that listened and repented and were saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, or in the future will be. And then there were some that when they heard that gospel, when the net was tossed, they didn't receive Jesus Christ. They did take the mark. They didn't treat the Jew right. And when that net was pulled in, first thing that the Lord does is, okay, let's start separating the fish. That's the reason it said the kingdom of heaven is like that. Now listen, that is a future event. That's at the end of the world. That's just before the Lord comes back. We know that by comparing scripture to scripture. We know that the fish are talking about people because we're supposed to be fishers of men. You know what they're going to be doing during the 70th week of Daniel? They're going to be fishing for men then too. But with the gospel of the kingdom. And so they'll be fishing, and the net's the gospel, specifically the gospel of the kingdom. And like I said, it's going to be thrown over everybody. He's going to preach to the whole world, not just the Jews, according to that passage, but the whole world. And then the Lord is going to separate from the nations, the whole world. You say, okay, well, that's future, Pastor. What does that have to do with me now? Well, listen, we have a net today. It's the gospel of grace. We go out and we're supposed to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, there are going to be some that when they hear that gospel, they're going to get saved. And on Rapture Day, guess what? There's going to be a separation. Those that got saved, those good fishes, they're going to go up on Rapture Day. But those bad fishes, they're going to be tossed to the side. And they're going to be left behind. How important it is for us. Listen, the Lord made us fishers of men. And we're supposed to take the net of the gospel and we're supposed to throw it out there. We tell everybody. That's the reason the Lord says, go out and tell everybody. To the farthest reaches of the world. Throw the net everywhere. and just start telling people about Jesus Christ. Don't worry about separating the fishes when you're throwing the net out. Just tell everybody. That's the reason I tell you, when you're going out witnessing, just assume everybody's lost because you don't know the heart. You know, there are people today that they live a nice, clean life and they could be lost as all get out. But then there are other people that you see that maybe not living a clean life, and maybe they're just away from the Lord and they could be saved. We don't know the heart. So what do? Just assume that everybody are just fish and just toss the net out there. By the way, you notice every time that the Lord told them to toss out the net, they never came back with one or two fishes. It always came back full. In fact, one time it came back so full it almost sunk the boat. I wished I could have a fishing day like that. Okay, but that's what happens. So my point is this, is who gets to fish in that net? The Lord does. Listen, all we do is toss the net. In fact, one of the greatest teachings that you'll ever see is, remember it says that the night before, Peter and them were out there throwing and they didn't catch anything. They were throwing that net all night long and they didn't catch anything. And the Lord says, go out in the deeper water and toss it. And Peter's like, what are you talking about? The Lord says, throw out in the deeper water. Throw it out there and all of a sudden they bring in all those fish. You know what that's teaching? That teaching, when you're throwing that net out there, you're not in charge of what fish get in that net. It's the Lord. And that matches over there where it says that you know, some plant, some water, but God gives the increase. That matches that. Amen? So what I'm saying to you this morning is this. Let's get out there and start throwing that net around because we're supposed to be fishers of men. And that parable right there teaches that truth, but it's technically applied to a future event when the Lord comes back. And by the time that they start throwing that net, saying repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, we'll already be up in heaven with our rewards. Amen? All right, let's pray.